Adam Rishon first created was not permitted to eat meat. You see, because it says Lachem Yelachla Ulchol Chayas Aretz. All the grasses and vegetation will be for you to eat, and not just for you to eat, but for all other animals to eat. V'lo Chayas Aretz Lachem, but you animals of the land. That was for the first 1600 some odd years. Ukshabo Bnei Noach, when the children of Noach came after the flood, he told them, then God allowed them to eat meat. Shnamer, that says, Kierik Esev Nasati Lochem. From that time on, everything is like vegetation. In other words, in that regard, we say that man is allowed to eat everything, including flesh, which he wasn't allowed to eat prior to the flood. Now, there's a machlokus. So, machlokus between the Tosfos and Yad, which are both Rishonim, as to what about meat which died of natural causes. The Tosfos holds, not here, it's a Tosfos on Daf Nun Vav on base, three about earlier, but Tosfos there holds that even though Adam Rishon was not allowed to kill animal meat, he was allowed to eat meat from animals which had died of natural causes. Why he would want to eat meat of that sort, I don't know, but he was allowed to eat meat which had died a natural death. The Yad Ramah writes that, no, even meat which had died a natural was forbidden to Adam Rishon, was forbidden to man prior to the flood. Okay, so we have here a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us here that there was an Isser at one time in history for a significant amount of time, for over 1600 years, on mankind to partake of meat. That's the first Gemara. Second Gemara, moving to the left, is in Psachim, Daf Mem Tes on the base. The Psach Gemara there says, again, where I made a little bracket, Tanya, we learned it in a Braisa. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which is significant to us because he appears in another Gemara, which we'll see in a moment. Oh, I'm Oretz also Lechol Basar. And I'm Oretz, a person who is not learned, is forbidden to eat meat. Shenemar, because it says, Zos Taras HaBehema Va'of. This is the law which pertains and to fowl. Kol Osik B'Torah, anybody who learns Torah, Mutar Lechol Basar Behema is permitted to eat the flesh of animals, Va'of, and of fowl. Anybody who doesn't learn Torah also lechol bas is not permitted to partake of the meat of animals nor of even birds. So the question is, why not? Why is not Martin allowed to eat meat? By the way, if this Gemara was adhered to, this would radically on the kosher meat markets. However, if you notice normally when you have a halacha brought down in the Gemara, there's a little letter in the Gemara, which corresponds to the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah on the top right, that halacha is to be found in Rambam or Shulchan Aruch. Well, there is no letter here. And the reason is because we find in the Gemara many times things which are stated as an iser, as a ban, as being prohibited, but in reality are not actually prohibited as halacha. Rather, are prohibited in terms of machshava, in terms of the philosophy or theology thereof. In other words, philosophically or theologically, an Amma Arad should not eat meat. And the reason why an Amma Arad should not eat meat is actually a topic of intent. The Maharsha, who has a commentary in the back of the Gemara, and the Ramah, who's one of our major poskim, of course, say that the reason why an Amma Arad should not eat meat is because the laws of meat, in terms of kashrus, are particularly complex. And is not familiar with the laws, which have to do with how to shecht, how to check the lungs, how to make sure that what he's eating is kosher, not to mix meat with milk, all those kinds of halachas which are very complex. If an Amoritz doesn't know them, it's ready for him to fall into a trap of eating stuff which is not 100% kosher. So therefore an Amoritz should not eat meats because he shouldn't take chances with coming into situations where he's not going to be eating meat which is properly 100% kosher. Right? Good example that would be, let's say you don't know who the Mashgiach is. So that, not example, an analogy would be a case where you're eating meat and somewhere you don't know the Mashgiach is, you don't know what could happen, best to refrain from eating meat under such circumstances. That's the Maharsha's approach, which is a very dramatic reason for an Amoritz not to eat meat. The Hasidim and the Bali Machshava have a slightly more mystical approach to it. And here I photocopied from Reb Tzadok on the bottom right, bottom left, but you don't have to look at it inside what he says. Reb Tzadok says that Amoratim should not eat meat because they can't utilize meat for its proper purpose. What do we mean by that? Every type of food in this world was created in order to facilitate the service of God, right? That's what type of food which we eat. We make a bracha before we eat in order that we should realize that it was given to us by God for a purpose, and we're eating it in order to fulfill the purpose for which it was given. What's the purpose which was given? The purpose which was given was in order to make ourselves, or in order to make ourselves healthier, or in order to make ourselves to make ourselves happier, in order to properly serve God. Now, Reb Tzadok makes an interesting point. He says that in our day and age, it's bracha shirki l'shanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu on all types of food except for meat. In other words, on vegetables, there are mitzvahs to eat vegetables, such as maror, on Pesach, of course, on bread, there's mitzvah to eat bread, matzah. But on meat, there is no mitzvah, bracha, shirki l'shanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash existed, of course, any time you brought a carbon, you made a bracha, shirki l'shanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu. But since there is no bracha which applies to meat, no mitzvah which applies to meat, that signifies to us that meat is not as readily utilized for kedusha as other types of food. As a tzaddik, and I'm a talmid chacham who will use the meat for the purpose of learning Torah with greater intensity, of davening better. Such a person can eat meat even in our day and age. For an Amoritz, when the Beis HaMikdash existed, he could have eaten the meat of the Karbanos. But in our day and age, when there is no mitzvah to eat meat, he should refrain from eating meat, because since he's not going to eat it in the context of a mitzvah, it's going to be very hard for him, very much in Davin, doesn't Davin very well, to utilize the meat without the mitzvah for the purpose of Kedusha, therefore he should refrain from eating meat. It's interesting, if you look in the Torah, and we'll get back to this later on, fruit? The mitzvah, when is there a mitzvah to eat fruit? There's got to be a mitzvah to eat fruit. When is there a mitzvah to eat fruit? Shechi, no, it's not a mitzvah to eat fruit. Which bro, mitzvah? Nesra, you don't eat, right?
Speaking, grapes are fruit.
That's true. That's true. There are brachs which are done. That's good. Good example. Save me there. yes. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. In any event, we'll come back to a little bit later in the evening again, but I'll point it out to you now, that when the Torah, at the time when Am Yisrael was in the Midbar, in the desert during the day, they're not permitted to eat meat. They're only permitted to eat meat, in fact, from Karbanos. And the Chumash, when it tells us that when they enter the land of Israel, they will be allowed to eat meat, as when God expands your boundaries, you'll lust after eating meat. The Torah says, you're allowed to follow your lust and eat the meat. The Torah gives the eating of meat kind of a negative status. It says it's a lust, it's a taiva, right? Because not in the context of karbanos, as it was in the desert, eating it to be something which is a taiva, something which is not, perhaps, let's call it, it's not a mitzvah, it's something which the Torah gave you as an option. It's very similar, the Bala Ikrim, which we'll come back to later on, says it's analogous to the situation we have by Fas Torah. The Torah says that if a man is a soldier is out to have relations with a non-Jewish lady. So the Chazal tells, this is not something which we should condone, but lo dibra Torah k'neged yetzer hara, there are certain situations in which it's very difficult for a man to restrain himself, so therefore the Torah said, we recognize that probably to do it under those situations. So similarly, he says, the same thing applies to meat. The Torah recognizes it's very difficult for a person to restrain himself, so therefore the Torah says, you're allowed to eat meat, but don't think that it's the most wonderful thing in the world. So therefore, the Kohen Reb Tzadok and Amor shouldn't eat meat because he will not use it for the proper purpose, in other words, to use it for divine service in order to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. That's the second Gemara. What we have is Gemara B'Matia Daf Behei, a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us, and I didn't mark where it is, with a line inside, let's see if we can find it easily, in the wide lines, the seventh wide line, the fourth line from the end, which is the Rebbe. The Gemara here is talking about Yisurin, afflictions. And the Gemara tells us first about the afflictions of Rabbi Lezer ben Shimon, and then the Gemara tells us about the afflictions of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Rebbe, the affliction through a maisa which happened. By day maisa ochan, they went away through a maisa as well. I day maisa bo through a maisa they came mahi. What happened? Tahu ego a certain calf. The avu kamam to the shechita which was being taken to be shechted. Also the confase. So this calf came and hid its head in the folds of Rebbe's coat. The confase the Rebbe. The kabachi, and the calf was crying. Because the new was being let to, so Rebbe said to the calf, Amar Leizil, go. Lekach no tarta, this is what you were created for. Amre, they said in heaven, Hoyo v'lo kamarachim, since Rebbe doesn't have rachmanus, leisu alei yisurin, let him be afflicted. For 30 years he had stomach problems. By day, maisa ochu, through a maisa they went away. Yom achad, one day, have a kakancha amse the Rebbe beisa. There was the slave in the house of Rebbe, not the slave, the house of Rebbe was cleaning the house. Habishar b'nei Karkushta. She found the question what exactly they were, cats, weasels, some type of animal, the kokanchel, and she was throwing them out. Amula, and I guess she was doing it in a particularly mean way. To her, Shavkunu, leave them alone. See, if it says, Rachmav akom asav, Kosh Baruch Hu was rachmim, even on the lowest creatures. Amre, and they said in Shemaim, Hoyle Merachim, since he learned the lesson of mercy, Merachim Alei, we're going to have mercy upon, take away all the afflictions he's been suffering for the past 13 years. So, the question is, how do we interpret this Gemara? It seems that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was punished for the fact that he bridged no calf from going to slaughter. However, one could interpret this Gemara differently as well. One could interpret the Gemara differently and say, really, yeah, calves are meant for slaughter. Rebbe wasn't wrong about that, but his approach towards the calf was improper. He should have led it away nicely, kind of, but he shouldn't have treated it in such a cavalier fashion. But that's only an alternate way of interpreting the Gemara. One could look at the Gemara in face value and say that it's not proper to regard a calf as having been slaughter. Now, these are the Gemaras which we have in this regard. The other sources which we have are much later. The one way of looking at the eating consumption of meat as being a positive value is represented by the Baal HaTanya and was alluded to previously by Reb Tzadok. What the Baal HaTanya says, it's on page 2, I'm not going to read it inside, but you have it there if you want for your own reference. The Baal HaTanya states that eating meat is a positive thing because we have a Kabbalistic doctrine called being ma'ala the nitzotzos. What does being ma'ala the nitzotzos mean? In everything, there are sparks of Kedusha. Regarded as being a potential. There's a certain potential usage for that object, that thing, that entity for purposes of holiness. What a person is supposed to do in life is use all objects which a person possibly can of Kedusha. Now, not every object can be used for holiness. There are certain objects which Chazal tell us, or the Torah tells us, are off limits. Right? Such as pig. There is no, under normal conditions, there's no way one can use a pig for purposes of Kedusha. But most things in the world, one can use for purposes of Kedusha, including most food and in a lot of meat. So the Baal HaTanya says, we're supposed to eat meat and drink wine and all this type of consumption in order to utilize the sparks of Kedusha, the potential for holiness, which is innate in these entities for the right purposes. Following the line of Reb Tzadok, one is of course supposed to then use the strength which one gains or the joy which one gains from eating the meat for the purpose of enjoying additional avodas Hashem, not for the purpose of eating, drinking in and of itself. Now, in a matter of fact, and the Baal HaTanya doesn't seem to say this explicitly, but if you eat meat, you're really being mala many more nitzotos than you would if you would eat grass or grain. Why? Because the major complaints of the vegetarians, the animal rights people, is that the cattle which graze consume a vast amount of natural resources, water and fodder stuff, right? And obviously they're responsible for depleting the planet to a very great extent. But on the contrary, if you look at it from the Baal HaTanya's perspective, that makes eating cattle a much more effective way of being ma'alah, because otherwise you'd have to go and eat each particular blade of grass in order to get the potential kedusha out of those specific blades of grass. This way, if you eat a steak, So not only are you being mala the kedusha which is inherent in the steak, but you're using all the potential for kedusha which was inherent in all the fodder and all the water and everything which was provided in order to grow that steer. So it's a far more efficient way of using things for kedusha than going and being a vegetarian and eating specific blades of grass. In any event, so according to Baal Tanya, there is definitely meat. The positive value is to use everything which is made in for the proper purpose, the purpose of spreading more kedusha. It's very interesting in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but it's quoted in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it down and says that a person is going to have to account in the world to come for everything which he saw and did not eat. In other words, everything which you see, any delicacy which you behold, you're assuming that you can afford it, eat it. Why? Because obviously God created delicacies in this world, according to the Rishonim's perspective, in order that people should use them in order to grow, to feel happier, and thereby being able to worship Hashem and effectively. So from this perspective, obviously one would not just condone, but one would pursue the consumption of meat in the purpose of Avodas Hashem. Pig, God said, it's off limits. There's what? Meat? No, but God permitted meat. Everything which is permissible, God put into account. It's a very interesting Bnei Yisachar, though. This Bnei Yisachar is quoted in the Darkei Tshuva Yoredeh. The Bnei Yisachar says that if you have pork, which is bata b'shishim, in other words, it got mixed up with 60 times as much kosher meat, in which case, according to Halacha, one is allowed to eat it. He says it's a mitzvah to eat that mixture. It's a big machlok. People say, even if something is bata b'shishim, it should be machmir or not eat it. A lot of poskim say that. But he says it's a mitzvah to eat it. Why? Because he says normally pork, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give us a possibility of being mala any nitzotos of kedusha from it. But when the pin with 60 measures of kosher meat, so then it's a simon mina shamayim, it's a proof from God that this pork is suitable to use for kedusha and therefore one should use it. So the only other way of getting kedusha out of pigs would be to have pigskin shoes for something of that ilk, but eat it. Okay? What? Play football, right. In any event, now, so the Baal Tanya was kind of pro-eating meats, and obviously, according to him, there is this definite mileage. However, there are many post-game who disagree, and here, in general, you have to know we're going to blur the distinctions tonight between halacha and agada. Just like the Gemara before, which you said about Namoritz not being allowed to eat meat, is somewhat in the gray area which halach and agada come together, so too the rest of the evening we're going to be dealing with that to a great extent. There's a very interesting truth in Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe Feinstein was asked by his son-in-law, Rabbi Tendler, whether one is allowed to eat veal. And Reb Moshe Feinstein banned eating veal for two reasons. First of all, he said that in most cases veal is treif. Said since the animals are kept in pens under very close conditions and they're very stiff, where they're very, very susceptible to lung disease. And lung disease, of course, is the primary cause of typhus. So therefore, Moshe says one is not allowed to eat veal. Okay, is anybody familiar with veal calf? Veal calf and a regular cow? A veal calf is, in order to keep its meat white, so it's kept in closed pens and dark rooms, I think, or light rooms, I forget which exactly caused the meat to be white. And it's force-fed existence. So he says that it makes the veal sickly. This, in fact, is not necessarily statistically true. I asked him to shochet if there's any higher incidence of tarfus in veal calves than in red no. Because not only do they force-feed them food, but they also force-feed them antibiotics. So they keep them relatively healthy, okay? It's not retracted in print. Maybe you retracted orally. Have you heard that he retracted it?
I remember you discussed it.
I don't ever discuss him retracting it. And Ramesh himself retracted it?
Because he found out later on that this was...
Not me. I mean, anywhere. Oh yeah, it's written. No, it's written. The truth is, it's written. It's explicit. Yeah.
Didn't you go into the
Tzar V'chaim
there?
That's next. Then he says it's also because it's Tzar V'chaim. Bottom of page 2, he brings down here from some vegetarian journal how they grow cows nowadays. It doesn't seem like they go through a very pleasant lifespan. What they give them says here, in addition to starchy, high-protein grains, the ingredients they put in the feed may include urea, carbohydrate mixtures, and artificial roughage such as ground-up newspaper mixed with molasses, taste pellets, I don't know why they give them that, feathers or treated wood mixtures. And then he says that, it says here that they put charcoal and all sorts of other things. But, so therefore, Moshe says that it's because it's eat veal because of Tzar Bali Chaim. Because it's a terrible living conditions which is caused for the veal, and therefore we're in fact enjoying something which came about as a result of great anguish caused the animal. Truth is though, I don't really, it's not as if you're being Mitzayer, the Bali Chaim. Now you'll say, well, if there was no market for veal, then there wouldn't be any Tzar Bali Chaim going on. The kosher market is very negligible. I mean, it's not, you know, it's profitable, but they're not necessarily less veal if you refrain from eating veal. Now, if there was a mass movement in which the entire country refrained from eating veal, and you were able to organize such a movement, perhaps one could make the case and say there's Tzar Bali Chaim involved, let's stop. But under normal circumstances, there, in fact, if you stop eating veal, it won't make any really distinction on what the cattle grower will do. Nobody's going to notice. So therefore, I don't think that your eating the veal makes any difference, and therefore you're responsible for Tzar Bali Chaim, and therefore it's not an issur which devolves upon yourself. Now, there's also another thing I once heard on the radio from one of the talk show hosts. He said, you know, you have to think about it for a moment. The question is, would you rather that these animals didn't ever get to live? In other words, most poultry, most United States, only comes into this world in order to feed people, right? So were everybody to stop eating meat, then all these animals would never have existed. Once you're taking into account the lifespan of an animal, wouldn't you rather give the animal life than not eating it and thereby reducing the amount of animals which are grown? All right, I don't know if that point has any relevance to tonight, but it's interesting. So Ramesh asks us because of Tzar Bali Chaim eating veal only. Of course, he doesn't address any normal cow, which is grown, I guess, to full maturity and then ripe old age. He would not present any problem to Ramesh Feinstein. And of course, none of this applies to poultry. In any event,
ripe old age, according to this, is 4 months.
Yeah. In any event, that Ramesh is true about veal. Then we come now to a very interesting Rav Kook. And Rav Kook has a very long, he wrote in great detail about vegetarianism. And I photocopied a little bit of what he wrote, which from the page 3 to page 4 in our handout. I'm not going to read it to you because it's very long. But one thing we have to make clear before we start is Rav Kook was not a vegetarian. What I heard, I didn't see this inside now preparing for the show, he used to eat meat only on Shabbos and Yontif, but he used to eat meat. He was not a vegetarian, even though he was theologically very pro-vegetarianism. Okay? So what does Rav Kook write? Right, listen. First of all, we all know, of course, that there's a pasuk in Torah which says that man was created in order to be rodeh. It says that man was created in order to control all other created animals. Says Rav Kook, it's clear to me that this purpose of the Yirdu is not to eat. We're supposed to be in charge of the animal kingdom and use proper purpose, i.e. to serve us and facilitate our work in Avodas Hashem, but not by eating. Rather, by harnessing the power of animals in order to do work for us, or by harnessing animals in order to, maybe not harnessing the animals, but in order to be astounded by the wondrous activities of God, Ma'arabu Ma'asech Hashem, in order that we should come to stronger emunah. But it's clear to him that he doesn't discuss experiments. No, he doesn't discuss experiments. It's at the time of Kook, I don't think that was very, hot topic. He died in 1935, so by that I don't think that at that time the animals for experiments, but it wasn't a hot topic like it is today. But Rav Kook would have allowed animal experimentation.
He would have.
Yes, just like he ate meat, because he's a very pragmatic person. Although theologically, we'll see, pragmatically he says it's impossible to institute any ban on the use of meat in our day and age. Okay, he says that like we mentioned before, the free consumption of meat, in other words, not in the context of korbanos, is mentioned in the Torah as being a taiva, is mentioned as being a lust, is mentioned as being lust. Clearly, that indicates to us that the free consumption of meat under any circumstances at will is not a very laudable thing to do. Nonetheless, says Rav Moshe, and says Rav Kook, in our day and age, it's for meat because of four major reasons. First of all, he says, it's permissible to eat meat in order to avoid hypocrisy. Now, by that we mean, if somebody would say, well, can't eat meat to animals. In essence, he would be saying that he's such a perfect, wonderful person that he now has reached the stage where the only thing which he has left to do in order to rectify himself completely is to abstain from eating animals. This, says Rav Kook, under normal circumstances, 99.9% of times, is utter hypocrisy. Who is brazen enough to say that he is perfect enough that the only thing lacking his perfection as being a cultured and civilized individual is that he is not going to eat meat? Highly unlikely that you will find such a person. The second reason, he says, is we have to allow the eating of animal meat in order to prevent cannibalism. If we were to prevent the banning of meat, he says, what would be the result of that? People would think that eating meat, animal meat, human meat is the same thing. Well, one of two things would result. Either people would refrain from eating all meat, or people who would not be able to withstand the temptation would indulge in eating all kinds of meat. And therefore, people would complete herbivores, or they would become complete carnivores and eat all kinds of meat, including human meat. By the way, it's an interesting Gemara, which we just did in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. There is no iser in to eat human flesh. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that don't eat human flesh. There's a mitzvah saseh. It's a positive commandment. Ezeh tochu, eat animals. But there's no lav, or we find by a treif animal that says, don't eat treif animals. It says, vezeh lo tochlu, you're not allowed to eat this, but it never says by human flesh, don't eat human flesh. In other words, it's a less severe iser, theoretically, to flesh than it is to partake of pig. Now, how you get the human flesh is a little bit of a problem, because you can't kill somebody to get it. But theoretically, it's a less severe iser. So the shaila is, why did the Torah ask for human flesh? Obviously, we know that it's repugnant, repulsive. For this reason, the Torah only asked for things which it was afraid it would do otherwise. But the Torah wasn't afraid that people are going to become cannibals, because it's so deeply ingrained in the human psyche that this... So therefore, the Torah never gave an express ban on eating human flesh. But, like we said, were the Torah to ban eating animal flesh, so then you would have people who would become transgressors across the board.
I thought it said somewhere that you can't eat...
That you can't eat your children?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
You will eat your children.
Yeah, it says in Tochacha that you will eat your children. At the end of Pershmos and at the end of Yom Kisavo.
V'sai b'neichem v'noseichem, yeah. I'm trying to remember what I had. I'm not clear on it, so...
Okay. Now, two other reasons. Another reason is to prevent the desire to act like animals. In other words, if we prevented ourselves from eating animals, then what would come to, we would start thinking that, you know what, it must be that we have to refrain from eating animals because animals are just like us. They are the same form of life as human beings. If a true evolutionist, then that's what you believe. The true doctrinal evolutionists believe that man is just another species of animal, another species of the order of primates. And there is no basic distinction between man. And if you're familiar with the animal rights theology, their theology is, in fact, that animals and human beings, just like the evolutionists say, are basically no different, and therefore, just like you can't kill another human being, you cannot kill an animal. That the animal has the same rights as we do, which, of course, is totally diametrically opposed to Judaism, and, of course, is heretical as far as we're concerned. Because man, obviously, by virtue of the fact that he's cruel and is the ultimate purpose of the ultimate purpose of the creation is the exercise of man's free will in the service of God, by definition, he stands apart and higher than animals. So therefore, if we the Torah had banned the consumption, what happened would be that man would then equate himself with animals, and person would then begin to begin to say, well, since I'm not different than an animal, I might as well act like one. And if I might as well act like one, of course, society would rate it as a result. Finally, he says another reason why the Torah had to ban the had to permit the consumption of animals is because otherwise, with the Torah to emphasize that one has to be kind towards animals as well, then people channel their altruism towards animals. You know, if you recall the stories of Nazis during World War II, a lot of them were very nice to their horses and to their dogs, but they were very good at killing Jews. What?
There's a
pasuk
in Novi somewhere.
Yeah. In any event, so the idea is that they managed in their own sick minds to create that distinction, to say to be altruistic and kind and nice towards animals at the same time they were going out and killing men. So that the Torah was afraid that were it to ban the consumption of animals, then that would be even more pronounced. I can make an entire life out of being kind to animals and preventing cruelty to animals, and I will ignore my fellow man. I will not work on channeling my altruism towards the higher status behavior towards human beings. So therefore, it was necessary to allow the consumption of animals. And then Rav Kook brings down an amazing thing. Why? Because it's an amazing thing just to see. On page 3 of the handout, on the bottom left, page 754. Halami Banos. We called Mama Daka. In a silent, still voice, Omeres Chochmas Yisrael HaKabbalah, the wisdom of Israel, which is in the Kabbalah, says, and this is in the writings of the Arizal, Madregas HaChai Ravo, the level of animals, Chai means living animals who do not speak, in the world to come, Tiyeh will be, Kibichinas HaMedaber DaAchshav, like the level of speaking species, in other words, of humans in this world, Ayidei Aliyas Olamos, by the upliftment of the worlds. There's an amazing thing that Arizal is saying. The Arizal says here that in the world, he means the Moshe Mashiach, or he means the world to come, literally the Olam Haba, but he's saying is that in the world to come, animals are going to have the level of human beings in this world. That means, theoretically, if you drop away from this, and I don't know because I never saw that Arizal inside, but you draw the conclusion logically from this, you come to the conclusion that in the world to come, animals will possess free will. In this world, animals don't possess free will. They're not thinking. They don't speak. In the world to come, they will think and speak, kind of like the donkey of Bilam. Right? That's what's going to happen in the world to come. It says of Cook, if you think that, if you accept this Arizal, you have to come to a startling conclusion. What conclusion do you have to come to? I mean, it's on the board. But what conclusion would you come to anyway, if it wasn't written on the board, that there are not going to be any korbanos in the world to come? Moshe Mashiach in the world to come. Why? In this world, it's impossible to entertain the notion that one should slaughter one's fellow man as a korban. Right? It's one of the most repugnant things which the Torah stresses as being repugnant, terrible, and the worst avera which some of the nations which occupied Eretz Canaan committed prior to the conquest by the Jews, just like that's impossible to countenance in this world, in the world to come it will be impossible to conceive of allowing animals to be used as korbanos. That's what Rav Kook says.
The study of korbanos is purely theoretical.
So the shaila is, according to Rav Kook, again, A, when does it start? Well, so Mashiach will start from Olam Haba. Like I said, I'm not sure. It's not clear here when the korbanos will be bato. But he says at the time of the world to come, all the korbanos will be brought only from vegetation. Only menachos will be brought as... Right, we have a whole type of korbanos called the korban mincha, which is brought from flour. So we have even korbanos which are brought from shtei lechem, right, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff will exist. Bikurim, which is brought from fruit. All that kind of stuff will still exist, but not korbanos of meat. And the thing is, he brings proof. Let's take four. Does a chamor have free will?
Chamor
The Bilam's Chamor, no, didn't have free will then. But in the world to come, it will. The Melchash, it seems that the Melchash did have free will. Yes, it seems that way, sure. On page 4 at the top, he says that, on the top left, he says, in the fourth line, Utchuli is a character of Musar, of moral development. Tisrome Kokahu becomes so uplifted. Ad kidei ha'oras, until it arouses ha'tzadach yuvi, the positive side, shalmishbar about the laws of animals, bi'achosu sha'odam aleim, in the way that man relates them. Ala esahin, and at that time, she rosh pisgas, which is the height and the pinnacle of agos, of the kultura Torah, of pure culture. Amru Chazal, Vorma Godel, Chazal said their major, their great statement, Shugodo Umafli, which is great and astounding. If the emphasis is on the Mincha. Hivlit Mincha, it emphasizes Mincha Minatzmacha, which comes from vegetation. Bimokum Korbonos instead of Korbonos. Ramuza Gamkin Batorin, it also is alluded to in the Torah where it says V'nefesh. Gabi says the word Nefesh, which refers to the soul, in terms of the use of Mincha. Benigud, as opposed to Azvachim, to animal Korbonos, Shekosuben Adam, where the word Adam is used. Lahoros, to demonstrate, we're talking about Al-Sibas Achis, the reason of the lower level, in other words, of animal sacrifices. Klomar, in other words, to Adam HaMasuper V'Maisa Breishis, it refers to man, as referred to in Maisa Breishis, but he doesn't feel so in his downfall and his shortcomings. Tzorich La'Kamosu Rishiflusa Musaris, who requires uplifting ethically, and therefore all the Korbanos were given even out of animals, for all the reasons we mentioned before. But in any event, the Medrash Rav Kook quotes is very interesting. The Medrash he quotes is the Medrash Tanchuma. In the Medrash Tanchuma that he quotes is only half the Medrash. As it says there in the Medrash, Kol Korbanos B'Tein Lasi Lavo Chutz Mi Korban Toda. Except for the Korban Toda. Now, I don't know, that's not Rav Kook, because the Toda was comprised of two parts. What was brought with the Korban, what was the Korban Toda? What? It had a lamb with 40 loaves of bread, right? So the shaila is what the Medrash means when the Medrash says that kol kabbadas b'teilin chutz mi korban toda. So does it mean, in fact, the entire korban toda will still be brought, including the lamb? Or is it, no, the korban toda means the bread part of the korban toda and not the meat part of the korban toda? In any event, though, it's an amazing Medrash, and it seems not to be the mainstream of the opinion in the Rishonim and Achronim, and even in the Gemara, it seems that the mainstream opinion, Kachim, in our day and age, and so avidly, according to Chavetz Chaim, who centered so much of his learning Kachim, is because we do hope for the restoration of the sacrificial order as dictated to us in the Chumash and in the Gemara. Here is amazing, it makes an amazing statement. And the truth is, I personally wonder whether he really meant it himself. I mean, it depends which audience he was writing for when he wrote this, in my opinion. But it's an amazing statement to make, that all the Korbanos are a lower level which will not exist in the world to come. But there is a similar concept, there's also another question which Rabbi Bleich asks on Rav Kook. He says, we find in Chazal there's a Seuda, a great feast for the Tzadikim in the world to come, from the Livyasan. And the Shor Abor, the big fish and the big ox. So everybody knows the joke is an ox and a fish. Why need both? You've all heard this joke, right? For those who don't trust the Shechita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So in any event, but the Shaila is that what do you do with these the allusions to this? So that's not necessarily such a question, because it might well be that these great feasts are allegorical and not actually to be taken as literal feasts. But besides that, there's also a Sefer Yikim was Rabbi Yosef Albo, and he lived in about the 14th century. And he writes also very much, very strongly condemns the consumption of meat, which is interesting because he's a much earlier source. First of all, he says, from killing and eating meat, there are two negative results. A is that it makes a person more cruel. Person who's involved in shechting animals and such like is by nature, because he's doing acts which are more violent than a person who doesn't involve himself in such acts. And B, and here I'm not sure if he's coming from a mystical or rational approach, but he says that certain types of meat eat soul to become duller, thicker, coarser. A person becomes a more coarse individual if he indulges constantly in the consumption of meat. So he says that truly eating meat is not considered a situation. And then he gives a very interesting interpretation. It's not clear to me exactly why he has to learn it this way, but he says that in the machlokas between Cain and Hevel, at the beginning of time, both Cain and Hevel, because both Cain and Hevel felt that there was no distinction between man and animal, says that both Cain and Hevel felt that animals, in essence, although they were subservient to man, were in essence forbidden to be slaughtered for any purpose of man. It's just that Cain felt that not only couldn't they be slaughtered for man, they couldn't even be slaughtered for God. And that's why he brought his korban from the fruits of the field. Whereas Hevel realized that meat for the purpose of God. In other words, you could bring a korban from meat. He brought one of his lambs as a korban. But he also felt that one cannot use the meat for the purpose of mankind. And he's why Hevel was also killed. Hevel was punished. He was killed. Chori didn't do anything wrong. What did he do wrong that he deserved death penalty? That Cain should kill him? So he says the answer is because he also was a victim of this philosophy. So he says that both of them were wrong. Both Cain and Hevel. But both Cain and Hevel. And Cain was punished. Hevel was less wrong than Cain, but nonetheless, that's why Hevel was killed. But the reason why God then subsequently had to allow meat to be eaten to the time of the flood was in fact to counteract the philosophy of Cain, which became widespread. Why did the world become corrupt, says the Sefer Yikrim? Because since meat was exact same reason Rav Kook says, since meat was banned, so therefore people thought there's no difference between animals and mankind. We're allowed to act like animals, therefore we can rob and steal and live like barbarians and no problem. So that's why after the Mabul, God had to come and allow man to eat meat for this purpose, in order that man should realize that he's not an animal. In order that man should realize that he's supposed to be higher, more civilized. That lesson had to be learned for several generations until the time of Matan Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, is already learned to a great extent. So at that time, God decreed when he gave Am Yisrael the Torah that Am Yisrael should refrain from eating most meat. In other words, the lesson had been achieved to a great extent. And therefore, people now realize that they were more elevated than the animals. Therefore, on the whole, they should refrain from eating meat. The Torah said, I realize that it's impossible for man now to exist without any consumption of meat whatsoever. So therefore, there's certain types of meat which will allow you to eat. And the very limited, again, in the Midbar, they're only allowed to eat in the context of korbanos. And even out of when they got to Eretz Yisrael, it's considered to be a taiva, a lustful thing to eat meat, which one should, according to the Sefer Ikrim, avoid the past because of only divrei tahara. So that's the Sefer Ikrim's approach. It's interesting that there's a Malbim in Breishis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel. The Malbim there says that why was meat allowed? Because the constitution of people became weaker. Until the time of the Mabul, people were stronger. Nature was such that the people could be sustained without the consumption of the high degree of protein and per fat which is contained. But after that time, it was necessary in order for people to sustain themselves, now that their constitution became weaker, to eat meat. And therefore, from that time on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed meat to be consumed. Now, until now, we've been talking vegetarianism as in general. The question is, though, is one required specifically to eat meat on Shabbos or Yom Tov? And I photocopied for you an article which I wrote about specifically the issue of whether one is required to eat meat on Shavuos, which is the time when we usually eat milchik, and therefore some people end up not eating meat altogether. So, the Gemara Chagiga of Zvonik Shabbos, there is no chiv explicitly ever mentioned to eat meat on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's no din of simcha. There's no din of joy. There's a din of oneg, of pleasure. Pleasure is never defined. Gemara never really actually defines what the pleasure of Shabbos is. So therefore, there are no specific pleasures. Whatever turns you on, that's what's considered to be the pleasure of Shabbos. But in terms of Yontif, we do find a specific definition of what the simcha, the joy, and the Gemara Chagiga, Daf Ches, is quite explicit. The Gemara Chagiga says that one has to eat at the time of the Beis HaMikdash exists, one has to bring shlomim, shalmei simcha, karbonos, and concern of, as part of the observance of Simchas Yontif. It's quite explicit in the time the Beis HaMikdash existed. The question is, however, now that there is no Beis HaMikdash, what is the mitzvah in our day and age? The Rambam writes, and here it's at the bottom of page 5 of the handout, the Rambam writes that included in that joy, even in our day and age, is rejoicing with one's children and the members of one's household, each with that which is appropriate, and men eat meat and drink wine, for there is no joy but with meat, and no joy but with wine. So it seems pretty explicit in the Rambam that eating meat is part and parcel of the chiyuv of Simchas Yontif. The thing is, the Beis Yosef and the Rambam, that this is not mentioned at all in the Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Ches says that wine is integral to Yontif. But nowhere in the Gemara is explicitly mentioned that meat is integral to Simchas Yontif. Excuse me. The question is, where did the Rambam get this his halacha, which says that the Beis Yosef asks this question, and Beis Yosef takes this question to be so strong that he argues with the Rambam. He says that it's not crucial that one eat meat on Yontif, since the Gemara only mentions wine and not meat. Meat is in the chiyuv of Simchas Yontif. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim says that it's still laudable to eat meat as part of the Yontif's festivities because the Rambam mentioned it, and it must be that the Rambam learned that, although meat is not mentioned explicitly, since, however, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, meat was integral as part of the Karbanos, even in our day and age, although we cannot bring a Karban, nonetheless, it's important to eat meat in order to have true Simchas Yontif. That's one way of understanding the Rambam, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens. He says it's proper to eat meat. There's another way of understanding the Rambam, and this emanates from the Shagas Aryeh. I'll read it with you here inside. It's on page 6, the first column, the last paragraph. The Shagas Aryeh, Tevin Nun Hei, accepts the Rambam's view and rules that even in the absence of sacrifice, the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is Doraisa. The mitzvah itself is Doraisa. He explains that this mitzvah does not mandate the performance of specific such as sacrifices, but rather the enjoyment of a general air of festivity through whatever means are available. The mitzvah is subjective, each person engaging in that which causes him or her to rejoice. This is Rambam, who notes that different individuals are best gladdened by different means. Children should be given cakes, nuts, and sweets. Women should be bought beautiful clothing and jewelry according to one's means. And men eat meat and drink wine. Thus, when the Rambam eat meat on Yontif, it seems that this is only a suggestion based on the assumption that most men are truly joyous only when partaking of a fleshed meal. Men. However, if one would be more or even equally gladdened by a milchik meal, that is a sufficient substitute. Okay? I guess, real meat, real, what is it, real food for real people? That's the beef board slogan. But in any event, it would see, according to this, well, I mean potato sandwich. According to this interpretation of the Rambam obviously holds that meat is the suggested because it's the prevalent way of getting the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, specifically through the use of meat, and therefore a commended way of a man having simcha. But if a man has simcha by eating something else, then there would be no chiv to eat meat specifically on Yontif, one be allowed to eat fish or beans or tofu, whatever causes a person. In any event, so according to this, it would not be any mitzvah in our day and age specifically to eat meat. At the time when the Beis HaMikdash existed and korbanos were around, so then there was the chiyuv of Shalmei Simcha, who would have to eat meat and not take stock korbanos. But now in our day and age, there is no specific chiyuv to eat meat according to this interpretation. Now, there are, however, additional issues which one should take into account dealing with the topic of vegetarianism and Judaism, which are tangential. The tangential issues are A, there's a Ramban, which I think I mentioned on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, famous Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim. The Ramban says that one should not, Oshim Tiyumin, one should not be a novo, a base person, Bishus Torah with the permission of the Torah. And the Ramban explains that. The Ramban says, you know, one could, if one wanted to, according to strict level of law, one could eat as much wine as one wanted, and one could eat as much meat as one wanted, and one could be a base and corrupt person with the permission of the Torah. So therefore, the Torah gives us another mitzvah, which is kind of a super mitzvah. It's everything which is kedoshim to you. That one shouldn't be too lustful, and one shouldn't be too gluttonous. One should be a holier, more refined person. So included in this is not eating meat constantly and extensively, because one has to be a refined person. Being a refined person entails curtailing the consumption of meat to I'm not sure what you would define here, it would vary from person to person, but to what would be a normal and not overly indulgent fashion. The second issue, which is important, again tangentially, is the issue of sakana. Now he brings down here, if you turn back to page 2, you'll see I didn't photocopy the whole thing, but he brings down in this article, at the bottom right, brings down McClure, whoever that is, also describes how meat managers use sodium sulfite, a powerful chemical illegally used to change the color of rotten meat from green to red. Treated ground meats like chuck, round, and sirloin and sausage are especially, obviously they're especially susceptible to this coloring. So of course, one could make the case that there's a danger in meat. Obviously we know that there's a danger in eating too much cholesterol, and there could be danger if you have this rotten meat of all sorts of other types of diseases. So of course, if it could be proven, and I say this if, because this is a big if, proven that eating meat is in fact dangerous in our day and age because of some sort of disease which is caused, so then of course, chamira sakanta meisura, any type of sakana is much more, it's very stringent and must be taken into account, and therefore, one would have to refrain from eating meat because of the dangers involved. It's highly unlikely that this actually is prevalent, but if it was in fact prevalent, one would have to refrain from eating meat for that reason. The final thing to take into account is, of course, something which we opened up with. Why Nam Arts is not allowed to eat meat. The reason why Nam Arts is not allowed to eat meat is, because, according to the Marsha, because there's so many halachas involved in kashrus, and it could create all sorts of problems if a person is not careful and meticulous. That would be another reason for a person, for a Jew, to become a vegetarian. If a person lives in a society or in a location where it would be difficult to be able to maintain standards of terms of eating meat because there would be questionable shechita or a questionable processing plant, in all those cases one would be forced, not by any ideological reason, but just by a pragmatic reason, towards vegetarianism. So, to sum up, brief. There is no requirement in the Torah to become a vegetarian, nor is it considered to be a mitzvah to become a vegetarian. There is a big hint as to whether it makes a person more refined or holier to be a vegetarian. According to the Baal Tanya, there's nothing which accrues to your credit by becoming a vegetarian whatsoever. On the contrary, you're from being malah many nitzotos of kedusha by refraining from meat. According to Rav Kook and the Ikrin, there is an advantage to becoming a vegetarian, at least to a certain extent, because it will make you a more refined individual, it will prevent you from cruelty and from kind of stuff, and it generally makes you a more musardik person. Nonetheless, neither of these people became vegetarian. I don't know about the Sefer Ikrim, but Rav Kook himself did not become a complete vegetarian. At least on Shabbos, he ate meat. There's an additional factor of Tzar Balei Chaim, which it seems to me is difficult to actually take into account halachically, but Rav Moshe says that one makes a case that perhaps one should abstain from veal because of the tzar bali chayim, which is involved. Finally, the question of Shabbos and Yontif, like we said, it's not halachically mandated that one necessarily eat meat on Shabbos or Yontif. It's just considered to be mostly, as a norm, the most effective means for men, but if there's something else which can be substituted, when we go to my in-laws for Yontif, usually at least one meal a day on Yontif, you know, on those extended Yontif, is salmon, good salmon, and I can tell you that it causes just as much simcha as eating meat. So in any event, if something else could be substituted, which is effective in achieving simcha as meat, then that would seem to be okay, and one would be yotzi the chi of simchas Yontif.